Welcome to the first of the Regina Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion. And we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Pray together. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We need you in order for preaching to take place. No man can perform the task of preaching your gospel without you and without the move, power, and unction of your Holy Spirit. So God, we pray for a move in this place even right now. God, we thank you for the musicians that you've gathered here from near and from far. We pray for unity in ministry by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us work together in such a way that your ministry might flow from this house as it always does and not be encumbered, God, by lack of association. God, we thank you for your power and your presence. Move on the keys and move in the voices. Move in the whispers and move in the thoughts. And for this, God, we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. Encourage us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 27, the Bible says this. I'm reading from the New International Version. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Anybody heard this before? Okay, all right. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then, somebody say, even then. Look, I'm going to finish reading, but let me just pause by the Spirit and let you know, you ought to get excited about an even then. Even then lets you know that, yes, the circumstance may be thus, but even when it is, God will still make a way. God will still bring you out. God will still open doors. Even when your money is funny, even when your bills are high, even then, even when there's difficult health in your body, even when you have trouble in your mind, even then, even when you've lost your loved one, even when your family members are no longer there, even then, because of who God is, I maintain confidence in him. So he says, even then, I will be confident. And then he says something profound. He switches here, and those who would study the Psalms as though they were prose would say that now we go from one stanza to the next. And he seems to begin to shift things. He says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. He went from talking about what God would do for him in the midst of his enemies to saying what he's going to seek in the midst of it all. Do you see it? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Come back to verse 1 with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I want to preach a message by the Spirit on today simply entitled, How to Handle Fear. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. Help us in this moment. Through honest preaching, honest teaching, and honest reflection and introspection to grow because of your word, create an openness in the place so we might hear what you have to say, not man, and grow because of it. We give you glory for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can move as you feel led. Bible tells us about fear in a number of different places. For example, you've heard the casual scripture reader has heard that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You may, if you've read a little bit longer, have heard that there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has torment, and those who fear have not yet been made. I came by to tell you, despite all that, you're going to get scared sometimes. I don't care how spirit-filled you are. Come on, somebody. I don't care how much word you have in you. That does not mean that every now and then circumstances in your life are going to come your way that are going to make you feel afraid. Now, you don't have to yield to fear, and I want to be careful here that we distinguish the difference because of the power of the Holy Ghost in my life and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. When fear comes after me, I no longer have to allow fear to take over me like it once did and fear to have its way. But that does not mean that there won't be circumstances in my life that will make me afraid. And it is my response to fear to me. Do you see it? It's my response to fear. It's my response to the presence of fear that makes all the difference in the world. It's not that fear will not come my way. Fear will knock on everybody's door. As a matter of fact, somebody may have gotten some news this week that made you afraid. Somebody will likely get some news this week that may cause you to be afraid. But in those moments, it's how you respond. And when you know that you know that you know that God will make a way, that God will keep you, that God will provide for you, it ought to have an impact on how you respond to situations that make you afraid in your life. Can I pause the preaching and go ahead and preach to somebody honestly now and say, I cannot tell you every now and then that life will not bring things to you that will make you feel as though you ought to turn and walk away. I cannot tell you that life will not make you overwhelmed. I cannot tell you that you have all the answers. I cannot tell you that everything is going to go your way. Somebody has prophesied to you if they told you that's what Christianity is all about. But what I can tell you is this: when life shows up, God is still right there. And when I know that my God is with me, I can choose to not be afraid. When you try to examine what fear is all about, in dictionary.com, they say this. They say that fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain. They say something interesting, though, on dictionary.com. They say whether that threat is real or imagined. The feeling or condition of being afraid, real or imagined. That tells me that fear is oftentimes tied to my perception of the situation. Sometimes I can find myself being afraid of something that is never even going to happen. As a matter of fact, I came by to tell you the devil loves to torment you in the land of hypotheticals. He'll tell you this is going to happen. This is the outcome. Oh, I predict this. Oh, I predict this. You better do this, because if you do this way, if you go this way, if you go that way, this will happen. If you don't do this, or if you do do this, can I tell you that the devil is a liar? And that oftentimes we end up manipulating our lives and carrying ourselves in a different type of way because we're afraid of something God is never going to even allow to come your way. But if you perceive that thing to be different than it really is, perception will take you into places where you ought not need to be. If you perceive yourself as losing, even though God has called you a winner, if you perceive yourself as being unable, even though he said you're more than a conqueror, if you perceive yourself as not having enough, even though he said, I will supply all your needs according. If you perceive yourself as never having a chance, even though he said, I'll make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. If you perceive yourself as being powerless, even though he said, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, I'm going to give you, shall receive power. If you perceive yourself. So oftentimes, it's the way that you're looking at yourself and your circumstance that makes you afraid. That's why we draw strength from this psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Many scholars have debated, much like the 23rd Psalm, about where David is in his life when he's writing this psalm. Some say that he's still a young man. Some say that he's older in his kingship at this time, and he is, in fact, looking back over his life and talking about what God has done for him. As his mind goes towards, the Bible readers will know, building a house for the Lord. They say that maybe he's at that place where he's transitioning from his kingly ministry into retirement, if you will. But there are others who say that, like the 23rd Psalm, perhaps David is writing this psalm while he's fleeing his son Absalom. Absalom has come and tried to take over the throne. And if that is the case, I want to suggest to you that David has many reasons why he should be concerned. He has people who are coming against him. He has been thrown out of his homeland. His own son has mounted up an army to come after him, and he can't do anything about it. He is surrounded by people and surrounded by things that are overwhelming him. And here's the thing that makes you really make you think about David and his predicament. The Bible says that David says, "The Lord is my light." Understand that at this time in Scripture, we see that the people referred to David as the light. They said he is the lamp of Israel. He is the light of Israel. So somebody can be honest and relate to David in this thing and say, not only am I overwhelmed, but people think I ought to have the answers. Not only am I outmatched, but people think I ought to be able to come through. And David does something profound. First of all, he says the Lord, and in Scripture you'll see in the original language that that is Jehovah. When he says Jehovah is my light, what he's saying is that the eternal God, that the self-existing God, that the God who always is and who always will be. He could have called him Yahweh. He didn't do that right here. Oh God. He could have called him El Shaddai. He didn't do that right here. Why not? Because he said, Jehovah is my light. And understand that they can't just go flip a switch on the wall. Understand that light at this time period is not contingent upon electricity. Understand that light at this time comes from either the sun or a lamp. And if it comes from the sun will go down. God help me in here. And when the sun goes down, I can't see my way unless I have a lamp. But the problem with a lamp is it only can hold so much oil. So it too will eventually burn out. But if Jehovah, good God Almighty, if Jehovah is my light, oh God, help me in here. If the self-existing one is my light, if the eternal one is my light, then I don't have to worry about that. And what David was saying was this: I need you to know that Jehovah is my light. In other words, no matter how dark it gets, oh God, no matter how lonely I am, the lighthouse is still going to be shining. Not only that, here's what you need to know. David says, you've been calling me the light of Israel. Well, I need to let you know that I'm not the real light. At the most, I might be the moon. I can reflect the real light, but God is the light. Good God Almighty. And so David says, the Lord is my light. What he's saying is this: when it's dark all around me and when I lose my way, and that requires humility. Tap your neighbor, say, that requires humility. What requires humility, preacher? What requires humility, pastor? It requires humility to acknowledge, Sister Kim, I can't keep it going all the time. Oh God, somebody help me preach. It requires humility to say, every now and then, Taisha, I feel like quitting. It requires humility to say, I get frustrated too. I feel like giving up. I want to walk away. But when the Lord is my light and my salvation, when he's my light, he's a fuel that will never run out. When he's my light, he's ever-present help in the time of need. When he's my light, I know that no matter what comes my way, I shall come out. Anybody got God as your light? If the Lord is your light, somebody throw your head back and say, yeah! Say yeah! So he says, you've got to know your power source. Good God Almighty. The reason that you don't have to be afraid is because you know that it's not contingent on you.
That'll make somebody shout. That'll make somebody run. That'll set somebody free. When you think the victory is contingent upon your power, when you think the victory is contingent upon your money, when you think the victory is contingent upon your resources, when you think the victory is contingent upon what you have, oh, you need to be afraid. Be very, very afraid, because your power has limits, because your money ran out, because you don't know everything. But when the Lord is your power source, it's not contingent upon you. And so David says, the Lord is my light. He's letting himself know, when I get weary, he got my back. When I don't have it, he will show up. If it's not contingent on me, but it's contingent on my God, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid, because it's not contingent on me. So David says, the Lord is my light. Jehovah is my light. Not only is he my light, though, he says he's more than that. He's also my salvation. Now, this word for salvation has a variety of different meanings. I ain't gonna keep you real long. It's Communion Sunday. Salvation can mean a variety of different things. To save in this way, as it's used in this portion of scripture, in the Old Testament, because remember now, this is Psalm 27. This is a slightly different, Minister Lingham, understanding of salvation that we would encounter in the New Testament in the writings of Paul. Oh, God. Because when Paul is writing, he's writing about the salvific nature of the grace that we receive through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord. But this salvation is different. It's a little bit, oh, it's not darker, but it's older. It's more ancient, if you will. Oh, it's more rooted and grounded in the liberation of God's people. Oh, God, because their understanding of Savior is not one who has come in and taken the place of them and suffered for their behalf, because that has not happened yet. Their understanding of Savior, Minister Lingham, is the God who will rescue them from Pharaoh's hand, is the God who will bring them through the Red Sea, is the God who will go find them where they are and bring them out of that place to where they need to be. Can I pause and ask you, is there anybody who still can operate under that understanding of salvation? Because that's one of the meanings. He will rescue you. Anybody been rescued by God? Anybody found that God will come get you where you are and bring you out to safety? Anybody been in a place in your life where you did not know how to come out, and the help that you normally rely on was not available to you, and you found out that the Lord is my light and my salvation? He rescued me. Tell your neighbor, he rescued me. But it does not simply mean to rescue me. It means more than that. It can mean to provide safety. Good God Almighty. So here's David. He's fleeing his son Absalom. He's in a place where he would not normally be. Oh, foes may be all around him and he does not know it. He's not in a fortress or in a temple or in the palace like he would normally find himself. His mighty men are not always surrounding him. And so he knows that there are reasons why he should be afraid. And so he says, not only is God my light so I can see my way through anything, so I can make it through anything, so I can have the source of strength that I need with anything. He says he's my salvation because he wants himself to know. He wants himself to know God is a safe place. God will protect you. That's good news on this morning. Oh, this is just some preaching about who God is. Can I just tell you who God is? He's a God who will rescue you. He's a God who will provide you. But he's a God who will protect you. Good God, am I right about it? He'll protect you when you cannot protect yourself. And I dare somebody up in here to go ahead and receive the promise of God's protection. Every now and then, Mother Father, you ought to just lay hands on your child and say, God, watch over them. Protect them from danger seen and unseen. Keep them when I'm no longer there, when I cannot reach them, when they're far beyond my grasp. I need you, Lord, to not just be a provider, to not just be a rescuer, but I need you to be a keeper. Keep them safe from bullet-ridden streets. Keep them safe from racist cops in Texas. Keep them safe from teachers who tell them they can't learn. Keep them safe from the bad choices they make. Keep them safe from the lion and the bear. Keep them safe from the devil and his imps. Keep them safe from my nosy neighbors. Keep them safe from non-believing church folk. Keep them safe. No, but that's not all. And I'm gonna get out of here. He says that there is, God is my salvation. It means that God will rescue you. It means that God will protect you. But salvation also means one last thing. It means God will give you the victory. Oh, I'm ready to close now. Come on, somebody, help me get out of here. But I wonder, is there anybody here right now who knows that God will be your victory? Yes, he will. In the middle of the storm, God will bring you out. In the middle of the rain, God will keep you. My God, I wonder, is there anybody here? You know that God will give you the victory. That's why David could say, when my enemies come against me, they will stumble and fall. Though a host should encamp against me, in this will I be. My heart shall not fear. That's why he could say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. I can seek after him because I know God's got it. Oh God, you missed it in here. How can you say, David, that there's one thing you desire when there are enemies all around you? How can you say, David, that there's one thing that you're focused on when your friends are all around you? How can you say, David, that there's only one thing? Because God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. All my haters, God's got them too. All my bills, God's got it. All my problems, the Lord's got it. All my stress, God's got it. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. So I say, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? My enemies can come because God's got it. My foes can come because God's got it. Yay! Yay! God's got it. Somebody tap your neighbor. Touch three people and say, God's got you too. You may not feel like it, but God's got you too. You may not know it, but God's got you too. He's got your problem, got your situation. God's got it. Has he got it? Say yeah! Say yeah! Say yeah! Whoa! God's got it. He's got me from day to scene. So yea though I walk through the valley, I'll fear no. God's got it. God's got it. Yeah! Hallelujah! See what David wanted you to know in that first verse before he went anywhere else was that God is my light, but he's also my salvation. And because God is with me, I've already got a provider. Because God is with me, I've already got a protector. But that's not it, because God is with me. And salvation also means victory. I've already got the victory. That's why I don't worry about what's coming against me. And that's why I can stay focused on what I need to be focused on. Oh, God, help me in here. What puzzled me, Minister Lingam, when reading the psalm was, David, if all those enemies are around you, how can can you say there's only one thing you desire? Because how many people can be honest? I need five honest people in here to be able to say that when all of that life is coming your way, sometimes the last thing on your mind is running into God's house. Oh, I know that you're super saved and that you're holy, so I understand if you don't want to testify, but here's what my life has been like. When I can't pay the bills, oh God, it's trouble for me to get that off my mind. When I don't know how I'm going to keep the lights on, that's sometimes the first thing I think about when I go down and the first thing I think about when I get up. But if I can know that God's got it, I can stay focused on what he wants me to focus on, because I know that everything is going to be all right. So I'm going to keep seeking him, keep honoring him, keep serving him, because God's got it.
So if you know that God's got it, do you? See, I'm going to let it go, but I just want to make sure the Lord gets this to you into your spirit. Don't be so carnal minded that you need to put a name of a person in the place of the word enemy. See, sometimes you can use a scripture like this to justify your hatred of another human being. Oh, God, help me in here. Oh, Lord. But can I tell you, I don't know about anybody else, Frank, my biggest enemies aren't people. Oh, my number one enemy is Satan himself. Oh, then there's demons. Then there's stress. Then there's anxiety. Oh, God, help me in here. See, and what you need to understand is that no matter who your enemies are, no matter what your enemies are, if God is in your life, then God's got all that. So you can stay focused on him. How can you sleep good at night, been through all that you've been through? How can you rest late at night with all the stress that's all around you? How can you keep your head focused in worship when I know your life is a wreck? Because God's got it.
So I know I've already got everything that I need. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Stand to your feet on. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. No thing. No one. No circumstance. No situation. No thing. Nothing. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I? I don't know if y'all used to sing this. The Lord is my light and the Lord is my light and my salvation. And then it says, whom shall I? Come on, sing it one time. You know it. It's simple. Come on. Come on. Let the devil hear you sing that. Come on. Lord is my light and my, come on, choir call Redeemer, lift your voice. Is my life. I know it's old school, it's good school. Come on, that'll keep you. Oh God, get that in your bones. Come on. The Lord and my, y'all gotta help me, my voice is gone. Whom?
Shall I fear?
Then they ask that question, whom shall I? Come on, you know it. Come on, whom?
Whom
shall I fear? Come on.
Whom shall I?
Whom shall I?
Whom shall I fear? Oh yeah.
The Lord is the strength. The Lord. My. Oh my life.
Whom shall I fear?
We're gonna open up the doors of the church. We were saying, in the time of trouble, he hide me. In the time of trouble,
he will hide me.
He will. Anybody know something about that?
In the time
of trouble,
I know he'll hide me.
He hide me.
Whom shall I?
Come on, if you believe it, put your hands together. Move as you feel led, sir. Let's open up the doors of the church. Come on, put your hands together. Is there one on today? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Are you here? Do you need a church home? Come on, don't let fear keep you trapped. Do you need to rededicate your life? Are you here? Is there one on today? Some man, some woman. Come on.